Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me? All right, let's see. Can everybody hear me now?
I can hear you.
Yes. Awesome. Okay, we're going to put the lines on mute real quick. Okay. We do have our first listener on the line. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, we do have a few others that have called in. Thank you so much. Okay, and again, just in case you didn't hear me a few minutes ago, let me go ahead and restart it. Hey, 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 everybody. This is Sunshine. I am starting the show today as your co-host. Our host, Brandon, will be joining about 15 minutes. We will be activating the Facebook Live feed at that time. So until then, if you want to call in, it's 515-605-9375 to get in on it. And if you would like to give any comments, then you would just hit option 1 and we will bring you in live on the mix. So tonight's show is a very, 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 very good topic. We've been really looking forward to hearing everybody's personal input about why you choose to believe in God. So as we typically do for all of our shows, just giving you some background for today's show, it's simply just an open forum for all you as our listeners and our callers, our Facebook participators. This is for you to be able to let us know your personal input as to why you choose to believe in God. This is not a topic that we're going to be debating. This is a personal relationship that you have that we just want to know about so that others can be objective to the opinions and personal life choices of us individually. So we do have our first caller on the show. I'm very honored to be able to announce this caller. She has been on the show with us before. And let's see, we do have another caller on the line. There we go. All right. For all of our callers, if you want to mute your line, I have everybody open and available. So if you want to speak, I'm still learning the switchboard. I don't want to hang anybody up. So if you are live on the phone, if you want, please just mute your phone. If you don't want to talk, that's because Sunshine's still learning the switchboard. All right. So for our first caller, as I was doing the introduction, I apologize for that. She has been on the show beforehand, but she is one of our guests tonight, and I would like to formally introduce my mother, Mrs. Vernona, also known as Dusty Carter. She will be our first guest tonight and just giving us her personal input and her personal opinion as to why she believes in God and why she chooses to follow him, as well as teach to myself as her daughter, her other children, and then to anyone that she comes in contact with. I can honestly say that it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to be able to say that my mom actually walked like Christ. And you can truly see the light of God within the Holy Spirit living in her, through her, not only through her voice and tone of speaking, but also in her actions and how she carries herself. So it's very honorable and it's very beautiful. And I'm going to now shut up and give our guest her time to answer our question. Welcome, welcome, Ms. Carter.
Okay. Thank you for that introduction. The reason why I personally believe in God, because when I was introduced to God many years ago, my life changed. And I believe in God because of who he is. He you can't touch him and feel him, but you know he's there because he works in us and through us. And for me, my life made a 180-degree turn, and it's hard to read the Word of God and not believe in God, because I've seen what the Word says would happen if I seek and serve God. If I abide in him and he in me, I can ask anything in his name, and he would truly give it to me. And when I delight myself in him and I pray for his will in my life, he just manifested time and time again. I've seen healing, I've seen restoration, I've seen love, I've seen enemies become my footstool, and those enemies become friends just through the love of Christ. So I believe in God because God's resume is perfect, and he's not a man that he should lie. And I just encourage anybody, before you judge it, try him for yourself, because he will not ever disappoint us. And when we go through, if we trust in him, he always comes through. And he's faithful even when we're faithless every single time. Thank you for letting me share.
And I'm talking on mute. I'm so sorry. Listen, so I'm going to learn the switchboard. I've been talking about the last whenever Miss Carson got done. I was on mute the whole time. I'm so sorry. Okay, so thank you so much, Miss Carter, for your sharing of your story. It was great. This is a forum, as I stated earlier, so we just really want to hear your input. I do have some things I want to share that I'm going to share in just a second. But if there's any questions, the Facebook Live feed will be starting as soon as our host, Brandon, joins the line, which he will be coming within the next 10 to 15 minutes. Thank you so much for our callers that are currently on the line. Thank you so much for bearing with Sunshine and her switchboard issues over here. So while we're waiting for Brandon to get on the line, Ms. Carter, thank you so much for your information. I found, as y'all know, I'm a psycho researcher. So I found this beautiful poem that is written by Mr. Richard Chess. And the title of it is called What About God? So while we're waiting on our host to join and get our Facebook Live feed open, I'm going to go ahead and take a few moments to read this poem because I feel like it goes hand in hand with our topic tonight, which is most important in understanding why each individual and or culture and or person and or race may actually believe in God. Just in case you are familiar with this poem and or this song and or story is actually called All of the Above, and you'll understand in just a second. It is very, very lengthy, so I did edit it for the sake of tonight's show, but I will be adding the entire poem. I will be adding the entire poem to the Facebook Live feed as soon as it's open. So again, in case you are familiar with this poem, I have edited it just a little bit for tonight's show. Richard Chess, what about God? Sitting in his armchair, his head in his hands, he spoke to God. I am unable to light the fire, and I do not know the prayer. I cannot even find the place in the forest. All I can do is tell the story, and this must be sufficient. And it was sufficient. These are the final lines of Yohiba's poem, The Jew. And what about God? Was once saying, there is no God like ours. Now we sing, there is no God of ours. But we sing, we still sing. Story and song. Story joins me to a path. What I'll call my path. Song joins me to a community of singers, my voice, one among many. Sometimes in harmony, sometimes not, but always with the intention of creating out of many one, a beautiful, whether wistful or joyful, wholeness. My connection to song, well, a certain kind of song, a prayer, was made there too. What about God? Story and song helped me overcome a feeling of isolation and alienation from others. When I am shattered into many pieces, the educator piece, the administrator piece, the father piece, the husband piece, the consumer piece, the poet piece, the libido piece, the mind piece, the soul piece. Each with its own needs, its own demands. Story and song help me gain a little distance from these noisy, often competing pieces. And when after reading and listening to news, I feel powerless, unable to ease suffering or adequately address injustice. Story and song, Torah and prayer. Help me to renew my dedication to work toward justice and peace where I work and live. In Torah and prayer, I am restored for a moment to wholeness. What about God? These days, it is hard to put much stock in a story that would like to assure us that when we are threatened by misfortune, God will intervene in history to save us. God knows we have lost much and been changed over the millennium by our encounters. The Enlightenment, the modern times, and postmodern times, and how we have suffered, how we've lost. We've suffered and we've endured countless acts of violence. It's not a lament over what has been lost. Rather, it's a story of what has persisted. The need to ask for help. The belief that there is someone to whom address one's petition for help. In the first generation, a miracle is accomplished and misfortune is averted. In the next generation, miracles are accomplished. In the third generation, all we are told is that the telling of the story was sufficient. Of course, we are to understand that it alone was sufficient to accomplish the miracle of averting our misfortune. But stubborn readers such as myself, one who insists on reading only the words given, keeping in mind all that has happened since the story was told, then recorded, here's the story another way. Maybe the disaster did occur. What then? Do we stop believing in the power of prayer? Do we simply stop praying because it doesn't work? Or does the story open to include us, members of that open-ended third generation who living in the long shadow of misfortune, no longer believing in the immediate, discernible efficiency of prayer? Hold our heads in our hands and pray anyway. Does the story suggest that it is the act of prayer itself that suffices? Suffices to awaken hope in the face of fear and despair? Hope, as we know, can strengthen and motivate us to work without waiting for divine intervention toward preventing disaster, even when disaster seems inescapable. What about God? No God like ours. I still sing. Okay, I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. Okay, for all of you that are on the phone line, Sunshine is the host tonight while Brandon comes on a little late, and I'm still learning the switchboard. So if you will please just mute your line, we'll get you back. Phone switchboard muted once Brandon gets logged in, because I don't want to hang anybody up. And I see that you're holding, but I don't know for sure if you can hear the show or not. So everybody is live. So if I can just get you to mute your line, unless you want to talk. And if you want to talk, you just say, "Hey, Sunshine, I'm here." And then you go right on ahead. And I'm going to finish our poem. I just saw a few more people had joined on, so I wanted to let them know what was going on. I apologize for the break there. Okay, finishing up our poem, just for those of you that have just joined in, thank you so much for calling in. Sunshine is our co-host slash host tonight. Our host Brandon is running a little late due to a pre-scheduled appointment that he had that conflicted with the show, so he will be joining here in a little bit, and then we will get our Facebook Live feed open up. Until then, thank you so much. The call-in number is 515-605-9375, and Sunshine is learning the switchboard. So you will be live. Just I'm asking that you mute your personal phone unless you want to talk, and normally you would press 1, but again, I just activated everybody because I didn't want to hang up anybody. So just mute your line. If you want to talk, just interrupt me or interject while I'm breathing or whatever. Okay. And for those that just joined on the line, what I was doing was I was reading, as y'all know, Sunshine is psycho documentary researcher, but I found this poem by Richard Chess that's called What About God? And so I did kind of break up the poem just a little bit for tonight's show in response to the question, which is a personal slash individual question to everybody. There are no questions being asked of why you choose to believe in God. This is just an open forum for you to just give us your input and so that others can hear your objective. We all have our own individual reasons as why we believe in God and or follow God and or any other higher powers that you yourself may believe in. We encourage all participation. So again, if you have something to say, just, hey, Sunshine, I'm on here. I'll get you in on the mix. Finishing up the poem, we are on the last paragraph. What about God? Well, actually, we have 2 paragraphs left. There is no God like ours. I still sing as part of the regular worship service. I don't know what my fellow worshipers actually think when they say these words. It's easily distractible. I look around the sanctuary and I think, how different I am from those with whom I pray. Why can't there be a congregation whose members are all like me, with my cultural and my political background and my spiritual and my artistic and my social inclination and aspirations? Sometimes when I participate in prayers the preferred way, I get the sense that I'm praying in the company of others, alone and in the presence of God, or in the presence of God's distance, if not absence. By this, I mean I become awakened to the space and sacred objects and words and melodies, and I sense that these together are directed towards God, wherever and whatever God is. Usually, though, however, I can't imagine my way to feeling God's presence, distance or near. On such mornings, though, God as word, addressee, and character appears in virtually every prayer and passage that I read and discuss during different services. I might as well be singing, "There is no God of ours." Still, we sing, and in this way, at least, our voices join, we overcome our mostly small, insignificant differences. What about God? Can I tell you why I believe in God? Can I tell you who and what the God is whom I may or may not believe? I have a past, a long, complex, fascinating past. I call it mine, or it calls me a character in its story. I have a people, a living people, and my life is connected to, intertwined with, harmonized with theirs. Though sometimes I'm singing sharp or flat? Or does this people choose me to be a member of his tribe? Tor comes from God. One could say, and prayer points back to God. or one could say our story and song come with God. Maybe in some distant future generation, even God, as creator, commander, inquisitor, judge, punisher, rescuer, adversary, comforter, will be forgotten. But the story will probably still be told, the song sung, and the question asked, what about God? And they too will have to suffice. Again, the poem is What About God? Richard Tress. He is the director of the creative writing program at the University of North Carolina in Asheville. And he is a published author of several poetry books and different types of poems, such as this one. So if you're interested in the full poem, again, as soon as Facebook Live feed is up and running, I will get this, the actual full poem, posted into the live feed so that everyone can have a copy of it. So while we're taking a break in a moment, it is 8:26, let me take this opportunity to tell everybody thank you so much for your participation tonight. You are live with your co-host, Sunshine. Our host, Brandon, is conducting, had a pre-scheduled appointment that has ran over, and we are expecting him to log on any minute now. And once he logs on, we will activate the Facebook Live feed. So thank you. For those of you who are on the podcast and would like to call in, if you would like to, the number is 515-605-9375, and Sunshine is learning the switchboard, so you will most likely be live when you call in, only because I don't want to hang anybody up that's calling by trying to put you on mute, so I'm just asking everybody to mute your personal lines. We do have several callers on the line, so if anyone want to jump in the mix and tell us all why you choose to believe in God, I would love to hear from you. This is your time. All right. So I was giving everybody the opportunity, so we're going to keep it going on. So tonight's show, I guess I will talk about why I believe in God while we continue to bypass the time for our host.
Hi, Sunshine.
Hey! Oh, hey! Sorry, is this Storyteller, right?
Yes, ma'am. This is Storyteller. How you doing, sis?
I'm good. So much for joining in, so much. I'm waiting on B to get on here, and yeah, thank you.
Yes, tell me
why you believe in God. I want to hear all about it.
Well, it was so many people before me. I was waiting on everybody to go, but you know me. I always want to run into it head on. So
hello.
I'm going to try to make this brief, and I'm going to try to make it swift. But this is when me personally, there is not no big. Oh, red parting of the sea type miracle of how I know God is real for me. I was about 13, I think, years old, and I grew up in a house where it was very abusive for my mother, physically, verbally, spiritually, etc. And it was very abusive for us also. And I remember one afternoon my mom had made a pot of spaghetti. And she's a very good cook. And my stepfather had came in. He drank whiskey. He's a whiskey drinker. And he came in for that whiskey. And, you know, mom had just got through cooking. And at that time in the house, like, you know, the guy ate before the children, et cetera, et cetera. So because it took him a while to come home, my mom had fed us first. So by the time he came in the door, he was like super elated, full of that whiskey, and I mean not elated, pissed off, and full of that whiskey. And I remember he dumped the pot of hot spaghetti. He threw a pot of hot spaghetti in my face. And I remember spaghetti strings coming from my hair. I remember going to bed that night, and I had been praying, which seemed like forever. I remember going to bed that night, and I remember telling the Lord earnestly, from my soul of souls, just like a straight up talk, that I couldn't take it anymore, and that I needed a way out, and that if I had to live one more day in that situation, I didn't know if I would live any other day. My grandmother from Longview, Texas, at about 6:30 that morning, was in the alley to have a discussion with my mom about picking me up and taking me to live with her. She had dreamt that something had happened to her. So my first real experience to know that God is real was not when anything great and wonderful was going on, but it was in the time where I was in my darkest and lowest hour, where I didn't know if anything was real, and I didn't know if I even felt like living. So that is how I know that God is real. And that's when I was 13 years old. And for me, since that time, God has showed up every single time in the midst of my most darkest of hours. Now, my light hours, too, I see God. But I'm talking about showing up, like you know God has come in my darkest of hours when I don't have nocturnal vision. And so for me, that happened at 13 with a pot of hot spaghetti in my face. So that is how I know God is real.
Wow. That was powerful. Wow. We do have our host here. Hey, Bees. What up with you? How's your day?
I made it. I'll tell you that. How's everybody?
Okay, so Sunshine was still learning on the switchboard, so everybody is, like, live on the call. I just told them all to mute their lines because I didn't want to hang anybody up. So we do have some callers out here. We've had two of our listeners, my mom and then Storyteller, who have shared their personal responses as to why they believe in God. And then I found a beautiful poem, story, song, it's all one together wrapped up, that I read earlier, and then I thanked the caller. So halfway through the show, Storyteller just ended, and you came in, listened on her. So it's all you, B. Thank you.
Well, no, it's still you. I want to share, just like everybody else, because the question is, why do people believe in God? The only people we can talk to are people who are listening and people who are willing to communicate here tonight. And I want to share why I believe in God. And I don't think that I can force or ask or demand anybody else to do something, one, that I wouldn't do, and then two, that I haven't experienced or known somebody to experience it. So here's for me. And thank you, Sunshine, and my brother, CT, I see him on, and Lula Card. I'm glad that y'all joined on Facebook with us here in the Gumbo Talk. But Chance is the one that would know me the best out of anybody as far as me as a child or a teenager and then growing up out of any other human being. And he knows experiences, at least a lot of them, where it had to be God that intervened in our lives. And as teenagers, we were very rambunctious. And that's to say it in the best language, in the English language I can say. And CT knows that there was one time where we were at a car wash and a dude came down the street. We were just standing there and he was shooting. And bullets were whizzing past our ears and hit the bricks on the car wash wall. I remember a time when I caught cases at an early age and ended up locked up. But by the grace of God, I was able to maneuver through that without telling on anybody, without my parents couldn't help me, but because of my background as far as education and being involved in sports, you know, the criminal justice system thought I was worth saving. That's what I thought at the time. And then fast forward to some things that happened when I was in college and done with college at some point, where I should have been serving long sentences for some of the things I was involved in, but yet I'm here sitting on a phone in my own home with my own family, and I'm not wasting away in prison. I can think of probably 100 things, but I'm sure there are tens of thousands of things where I could have been dead and gone, or addicted to all kinds of different drugs, or I could have been just a bum, just leeching off of people, living day to day without any kind of goal in life. But I'm thankful to my Creator for protecting me through all these things, both the ones I know of, and I know there's many more that I don't know of, that I'm able to be sitting here again on a Thursday night. So without getting into great detail, as much detail as the storyteller told on the story about spaghetti, just the occurrence of the God himself touching me one Tuesday, driving back from Fort Worth, heading back to Longview, and I realized that my life was going nowhere fast, is when I changed my life. And I say I changed my life. It was that prompting that said, you got to do something better than what you're doing. And I was in the car by myself. It wasn't like a voice hit me. It was just some things in my life, like, just flashed before my eyes, just situations and stories, and then it showed me my future. And I said, if I do all that, that will be my future, and I didn't want that. I wanted better for my one daughter that I had at the time. I wanted better for my wife. I wanted better for my mother and my friends than what I was offering up as my body as a living sacrifice. So that's the reason why I believe in God, because I know it had to be divine intervention that came in and said, no, you're not going to be nothing. And I'm still waiting on to be that something. Y'all got to understand, I'm not anything yet. I'm still waiting. I'm waiting with great anticipation that one day I'm going to be something that this world needs as a catalyst, and I'm a willing sacrifice to be just that. So that's mine, sunshine. You can take it over, man. You've been going this far. What's up, Demetri?
Well, thank you. Well, thank you so much for sharing. We did go over the description earlier, but I didn't do the definition, so I'm going to do that now. I was letting our speaker speak. So thinking about our topic tonight, why do we as individuals, as people, believe in God? Understanding what the word believe means, to accept something as true, to hold on to something as that opinion, to think or suppose. God is not something that you can walk up to and touch. God is not a person that you can pick up a phone and call. He has the main line number, but it's not on the telephone. So from my personal experience, I know I have struggled with the ideal of the Spirit of God. So for me to answer this question, you know, why do I believe in God? I have a story, just like I read in the poem, just like Miss Carter, my mom said, just like Bee just said, just like storyteller said, but it's not a story. It's my story that I'm a character in, because it's my past, right? So I was young. I was a young, like, storyteller. I was 12 when I can recall actually starting to go to church and starting to, you know, hey, what is this thing that everybody, why I got to put these stockings on? What's a slip? Excuse you? What is this mess? You know, it's not always about the Sunday dress, which is what a lot of people in my years of dealing with Christians or dealing with churches I've seen. It's not always about your outer appearance. When we believe in God, it's internal. It's our heart. It's what's on the inside. As I described about my mom, when you talk to my mom, when you see my mom, yes, she's human. Trust, she's human. But I tell people all the time, because I'm the only one of my mom's kids that look like her, I'm not my mom. I don't sit on Jesus' right hand like her. I'm down there like maybe 10 feet away from his feet. But, you know, you have those Christians and those who have this powerful relationship with God where you can truly see, like Mary says, the God in me. You see the God in them. It's their belief. When you truly have a belief in a Holy Spirit, which would be God, it's something that is self-enduring. It's something that you have to selfishly want. You have to selfishly pursue. You have to selfishly and independently go after. One of my favorite poems is Footprints, and I'll read it later in life, but the overview is during our hardest times, when we look back, we always go, man, I have no idea how I made it through. We just heard several stories on how we made it through. It was during those times that a spirit carried us. That spirit, for those of us who believe, is God. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Now, as I stated earlier, I understand the topic says, why do people believe in God? But we understand you may not believe in God as in God. If you believe in another higher spirit, we want to hear your input too. Why do you choose to believe in that higher spirit? If you choose not to believe in any higher spirits, as I scratched the back of my head and saying that too is fine. But we want to hear your personal input as well. How's life going for you not believing in a spirit, a higher power of God? How's that working?
It's going just fine for them, though. So why do you scratch the back of your head, though?
Because I want to know. I'm curious as to why somebody wouldn't believe in any higher power. Any. I'm curious.
Oh,
I want to know that.
I can tell you.
Why?
I was one of those people for a long time.
Oh,
I was one of those people. I know exactly
what
how a person feels not believing in a higher power. It's real easy to not. It's not easy to put your trust in something that you don't have any idea of the real true origins of it. You can't quite grasp the understanding of how do you put this on something that all your life you're taught is going one way, which is wrong, the way many of us were taught, that God looks a certain way, this blue-eyed person with this straight hair that had a clean clothes on in an area that was dusty and there was a desert. That don't make no sense that he was light-skinned. You know, it didn't make any sense. So when you get force-fed stuff that you and everybody else, including the blind, can see is false, and then people are falsely following it, you step back and say, wait a minute, I'm a free thinker. There's no way, based on even the stuff that you read and that you hear being taught, that this God that comes in the flesh now and decided to come in the flesh, and ain't nobody made no babies to make this happen. It was just a miraculous, an immaculate conception. It just don't make no sense. So when you're thinking off of science and logic, which many people do, everything has to be 2 + 2 = 4. 1 + 1 = 2. A, B, and then C and D. If that's all you know, then it's real easy to put your trust in science, to put your trust in a head knowledge of what you know. I mean, you know that this far in life you got it, gotten this far, however you gotten, without having to pray. Okay, you got this far without having to trust. So why can't you live without believing in God? If you don't think any experience in your life was divinely ordered, or that there's an orchestrator of everything, then it's easy to do that, because everything comes off of evolution. We evolve. And although I believe in evolution, I believe in God only because of this, Sunshine. Not what I used to, because of what he did for me, but because of what I know can happen, because I trust in something that I know has to be bigger than me. And this is it. If there's a tree, right? Let's say a big giant sequoia, redwood, that's however big around. Big as a block almost, right? Big as a house around. You could drive through some of these redwood sequoias, right, in California. If that tree is that big, right, and that tall, and it came from a seed, okay, a little bitty old seed growed into a big old tree. The question I had to ask is not how the seed turns into a tree, because I understand germination and rooting and pollination and reproduction. I understand that. But what I can't understand is who made the seeds? Where did the seeds come from? How did the seeds get here? Yeah, you can explain to me how to make something grow and how to get seeds out of it, and how human beings come into existence. But you can't explain to me how I can plant a seed in my wife, and then 9 months later, a baby comes. Yeah, you can say, you know, all about how the cells split and the sperm goes into the egg and all that. You can explain all that to me, but you can't explain how that baby gets a heartbeat when it wasn't nothing but a little sperm and an egg that met. You can't explain to me how it got a heartbeat and then turn into a human. And then you feed it and it grows. And then here comes 10 years, 15 years later, and y'all going to have to excuse me right here, everybody, including our mamas, then this little thing that's 14, 15 years old starts talking shit to you, and they came
Hello.
Out of you.
Hello.
You can't explain that to me. You can't explain that. You can't explain it. I'm telling you, you can come up with all of the things you can. So for me, it's a whole lot of stuff that's unexplained that people have been studying forever, and they still can't explain it. So it has to be something out there that can make things happen without us having knowledge of it, and it's been going on for a long time. So that's how people can do that, because they try to explain away everything until they get to the point where there's something they can't explain. Then they try to say, well, science will eventually figure it out. Some things they haven't figured out yet, and we should have, but it's not going to ever be. So that's how you can not believe in God, because you can believe in what you see and what you know. Even if it isn't true, you believe it. And hey, some of us that believe in God the way we believe in God, we might be wrong. People got a problem with hearing the word Allah. It's saying it's the same God. I followed the tenets of Islam for 3 years. 3 years I followed Allah and the Prophet Muhammad. And I understood that real well when I did it. So, but I couldn't explain everything away. So it's real to not believe in something. Some people don't believe in marriage, you know, and that's fine. And they have a life where they go out and they put stuff in and get stuff put in that come from who knows where and try all these different things out, and that's fine. That's them, but that ain't me. So that's it, Sunshine. That's how it happens. It's real easy.
Well, and because tonight is strictly about personal relationships, the reason why I have personally wanted to know is because I would always question, is it taught or is it learned, you know?
Hmm.
So, like, for example, with me, you know, I'm sure I went to church. My mom may still be on here, but I'm sure we went to church before I was 12. I'm sure we did. I mean, my mom was raised in the church. My grandmother was like the number one contributor, you know, third row member. Everybody knew her, but I don't remember prior to me being 12 years old. So is it that my mom didn't teach me about God until I turned 12? No, it's not the case. How I ended up going to church was we were being babysat by my aunt. And she, it wasn't a choice. She was like, hey, we finna go to church because y'all staying with me. So we went. So it's one of these deals. Well, let me step back. I do remember going to church. Now, we went to my grandmother's church before I was 12. Now that I'm having to think, the more I'm talking it out now, I do remember the stockings. I was making fun of the stockings with the shoes and the dresses and stuff. But my point is, can you not believe because you were never taught? Can you not believe because you've never endured anything that would make you question, how did I get out of this, or how did I make it past this, or how was I, and I don't want to use the word blessed, but I always use the word blessed. How did I get so blessed to, like you said earlier, not get a 40-year sentence term for something that I know I should have been sitting in jail for 40 years for? You know, it's the question of, is it taught or is it learned, you know? Do you, when will there be a time that you would have to question it if you were never taught or you never learned to question it? Does that make sense?
I guess. Yeah. I mean, it's the thing of it is about God is it's all personal.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Hard pressed for people to when people try to tell me how I'm supposed to think. That's not how this thing works. Now, there are some things that are stair steps to get to, but once I'm there, I don't need you to tell me how to think. There's 66 books that are canonized into the Bible. There's another few books, 14 or so, that are considered the apocrypha that were not canonized at the Council of Nicaea. I don't think most people even know that those books exist. And so it's like when you know that there's more knowledge out there, do you go after it or do you say, I know enough. I don't need to know anymore. So at
exactly.
this point, I'm going to stop learning and turn it off and just go blind for a while. And I'm just not the type of person that's just going to walk around and go blind. I'm just not. And so everybody doesn't think that way. And I found out that that's okay. But hopefully one day somebody picks up and says, you know, I want to know more. And they'll know more, and maybe that will lead them down a road that many people don't go, and they'll learn, and they'll put those things they learn into application And maybe, just maybe, you might learn that you never really knew much at all, and all you can do is keep learning, because you're never going to know it all.
Exactly.
And I cringe when people try to make you learn something the way they learned it, as if there's only one way to learn. You can learn in many ways. There's only access to the next level through certain portals. There's only way you can get through certain portals is you got to have access. And if you don't know about that particular way to access that next level, you're going to just, you know, kind of maneuver around where you are and try, but you're going to keep bumping your head. But you've got to learn that you don't know much at all first to understand how to keep moving towards a mature individual.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. So we have about 5 minutes till the show is over, and I am going to go ahead and just read you the Footprints in the Sand poem for those that don't know it. I have already posted it on the Facebook Live feed, but again, this is one of my favorite poems. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And Storyteller says in the conclusion that when one uses on everything confirmed, should be still applied. The conclusion isn't excluded because it's based on things unseen or unbelievable. People believe Monday gonna come because Tuesday on the way. Right here. Right on. My last two cents of the show. No, I'm the last person. Brandon, do you have any final comments before the show ends? We have about 2 minutes.
No, just the way, yeah. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for listening.
All right. Ms. Carter, if you're still on the line, Storyteller, if you're still on here, do y'all have any final words?
I don't have any final.
Oh, you are still on here. Thank you. So much for attending. All right. Oh, we have 90 seconds. All right. Well, my last final words will be thank you so much for attending. Thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for not hanging up on me. Thank you for muting your phones. It's been a beautiful show, and we did not get to go over the shows next week. But just know the next few Thursdays, we're going to have it going on. Ah, peace out, y'all.
That was that.
And then I realized